am not a headset wearer, so we'll see how this goes, okay? But I told James we would try it out. I want to say, can you hear me now? So you know what the problem is with this now, right, for you? Is now I can go anywhere and keep you awake, okay? Let's turn to Philippians and chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Today's message is one of a huge encouragement. I think that you can find great blessing in it if you let the Lord speak to your heart today. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 4. All right, let's start in verse 14. The Word of God says this, "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Verse 18. "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Look at that verse again. If you take nothing else today, this is what I want you to take hold of. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Verse 20, "Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's house. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Amen. Today we're going to look at this idea of supplying our needs. And I thought this was kind of a silly story, but it relates pretty well to a lot of churches that I share with you this morning, just to get us thinking about how our needs get met. The Butterball Turkey Company set up a telephone hotline to answer consumer questions about preparing holiday turkeys. I could have used that hotline a time or two. One woman called to inquire about cooking a turkey that had been in the bottom of her freezer for 23 years. That's right, 23 years. The Butterball representative told her the turkey would probably be safe to eat if the freezer had been kept below zero for the entire 23 years. But the Butterball representative warned her that even if the turkey was safe to eat, the flavor would probably have deteriorated to such a degree that she would not recommend eating it. The caller replied, "Well, that's what I thought. We'll give the turkey to our church." Oh, boy. And sometimes that's how the Lord supplies your needs, right? You get the leftovers, okay? I want you to think about that just a little bit. Let me ask you this today. Do you ever worry that you're going to have enough? Be honest. Today, I'm going to try to be really careful because I think most of what you're going to think about, this is so free, and I love this. Today, most of what you're going to think about is financial. It's going to be money, and I'm going to try to gear you away from that some, okay? Because you have other needs, and that's where I want you to start today. What are some of the needs that you really have? We had one of our revival nights. It was so good. I asked people, basically, if they could ask God for whatever they wanted, one thing, what would they ask the Lord for? And I'm asking you that this morning. If you could ask God, here, Lord, here's what I would really like to have. Here's what I need. What would you say? And we had, go ahead, Kay. Health, right? Yeah. Health is such a huge thing. And we had somebody mention that night. We had someone mention compassion. And someone mentioned wisdom. Someone mentioned discipline in their prayer life. And Esther that night mentioned peace. She was praying for peace. Think again. You can answer out loud if you like, but what would it be today? What do you need? And it isn't always money, is it? As a matter of fact, usually when it really comes down to what you really need, usually money isn't really what it is. Money is a way to get something that you think you really need, right? What do you really need? Now, I want to challenge you today. This verse here is just like, you need to go out dancing when you get out of here today, okay? This verse is so good when you recognize what it is saying about your needs and about the Lord that you serve, all right? So think about that with me this morning. But what are those needs? If you had that opportunity, what would you say today? Here's what I need. And I've shared this with you guys before, but my need is to continually be desperate for God because I am pretty self-sufficient, right? You guys, any of you like that? I can take care of myself. Even today, I'm sitting in the family room there, and I'm thinking, you know what? I just need to get down here and just work and make this all happen. I need to make it come together because I need to do it. That's pretty silly, isn't it? The Lord needs to do it. I need to be obedient, right? I'm going to challenge you with that this morning. What is your need today? And I want you to see here in a little bit what the Lord's promise is, and it is so encouraging. If we will give as the Lord leads, what you're going to see today is he will provide for our needs. Look at verse 14, if you would. First thing I want to see this morning is we need to seek the kingdom. You guys are very familiar with Matthew 6:33. This is the same principle, just in a different book of the Bible. Seek first the kingdom of God. This is that same idea. Look in verse 14, and Paul says, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles." The Philippian church demonstrated their love for Paul. They had that kind of faith that expressed itself in love. Do you remember how they did that? They did it in two ways. The first way they did it is they sent an offering. Okay, Paul, when he's writing this book, where's he at? He's in jail. He's probably in a Roman prison. That's where he probably most likely is when he writes the book of Philippians. He's in jail. But the Philippian church, as they saw Paul's needs and as he promoted the needs of the Jerusalem church, because if you guys remember, the church was born out of Jerusalem, right? And then that Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark, they all traveled all over the world. They started preaching the gospel and planting churches, right? And as they planted these churches, what they began to realize is a lot of places they were going were a lot more wealthy than back home in Jerusalem, where the poor were really suffering. And so they began to, even as they do their missionary journey, they collected money from these different churches to take back home to Jerusalem to help the poor and to distribute that to help the people that were in need. Well, the Philippian churches, you're going to see in a little bit, they were one of the first churches to actually share and to give to this need that Jerusalem had. Not only that, what else did they do? Do you remember from chapter 2 what they did? This is so powerful. They sent a representative. Remember his name? Epaphroditus, right? How would it feel to be alone in a prison, probably cold, dark, and damp, and stranded, and somebody from far away shows up? And every day they come in and they talk with you, they pray with you, maybe they sing with you, whatever they're allowed to bring in, maybe they're able to give you food, right? You guys, I want to brag on you just a little bit this morning because I want you to know that as a church, you're doing some of these things already. We got a letter from Anna Seitz just this past week saying thank you to CrossLife for all that you have done for her. And I know sometimes you may wonder, well, what kind of impact can we have? We're having a great impact on Anna Seitz's life. She knows that we love her and that we care for her and that we're supportive. Even though we're not her home church, we're helping her to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and she is very thankful. So we are helping like Epaphroditus in that sense of the matter. We're helping with Sindhu and Minnie. You guys, this past week, Wendy sent off the gift package that you guys helped fill up for Sharon. So it went up to, I think it's in Michigan, to a college up there where Sharon, their Sindhu and Minnie's daughter, is going to college. And all it was a simple, I love you, but it's the same idea here that the Philippian church was doing for Paul. You follow what I'm saying? Whether it's the Sparks or Jaime Hernandez or just international missions, this year our church took a risk. Did you know that? You guys know that we are financially, we're not like, we're making it. That's what we're just doing. We're just making it, right? We decided at the beginning of January last year, after our planning meeting that we're about ready to do again this year, we decided that we would give 10% of everything that came into this place, that we would give it out to God and trust God to use it, and that God would provide our needs. Well, guess what? So far. And that's what I want you to see today. as we share with what the Lord has us to do, the Lord says he will take care of the things that we need in order to do his will. So I want to encourage you this morning, how else can you help those who are serving the Lord? Think about your paper again today. This is what's a challenge to me. How can you encourage believers who live so far away, who are facing persecution? What can you do? Do you know? That's what we're going to hit over the next few weeks, and especially on the International Day of Prayer. We're going to talk even more about some practical ways that you can serve your brothers and sisters in Christ who are facing persecution all over the world. This is exactly what the Philippian church was doing. What can we do for the Lord? Again, this is just a little bit of a funny, but I thought it was something to think about this morning and be encouraged. And I'm so encouraged the way you take care of our family. But one cartoonist put this, he said, "The board agreed that you're worth your weight in gold, but we can only afford your weight in aluminum." Right? What can we do? We can only do what we can do and trust God with the rest, right? But here's the great thing. What did the little boy do that had two loaves and fishes, right? Five loaves and two fishes, I believe is what it was. He went to Jesus. There's 5,000 men, so probably 10,000 people. And Jesus says to the disciples, go feed them. What if Jesus walked in today to our church and he said, I want you to go and I want you to reach Indianapolis this next week? What would we say? We would be like Moses and we'd start spitting out excuses as fast as we could, couldn't we? Lord, we don't even have, look at how many people, what are we going to do? We can't, all the excuses would fly, wouldn't they? And the little boy said, here you go, here's my lunch. And the Bible says that Jesus blessed it, which is the key, right? And they fed 5,000 men, 10,000 people, and they ended up with 12 baskets full left over. Another principle I want you to see today. Usually the Lord gives you a lot more than what you need. Amen? Anybody here living from the overflow of the Lord's blessing? Right? You remember when Dylan was here, he sang with us on revival that Monday night. And he said, basically he said, I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup is overflowed. Isn't that a great idea? That's really true in our life, most of us, isn't it? The Lord's blessed us so much that we can drink from the saucer because the cup just overflowing. Okay? Again today, would you open up your heart and just surrender what you have to the Lord to be used for his glory, for his will, and what he will do is take care of your needs. Look down, if you would, in verse 15. Paul continues and says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. What kind of church is this church? Is this the Corinthian church where there's a bunch of infighting and selfishness and Paul has to hit him up about collecting a gift? No, this Philippian church, they're a church that gives generously, thankfully, gratefully from their heart. They're known for a generous spirit. Who do we want to be? Right? Do we have any Scrooges here today? Come on. Who's the penny pincher in the house? Usually there's the husband or the wife, one or the other, right? At our house, neither one of us are penny pinchers too much, so that gets us in trouble, doesn't it? I don't know. We want to be known as a generous church. The Philippian church was alone in giving early on. Did you catch that? They were the church. The other churches weren't even helping yet, probably because they were making the same excuses. The Philippians weren't making excuses. They were expressing their love through gifts and through people like Epaphroditus. They gave from a thankful heart. They didn't give out of guilt or out of duty. Did you hear that? They gave from a thankful heart. And so the Lord blessed their gift to Paul and increased it tremendously. They even helped Paul when he's in Thessalonica. And did you hear the phrase he said? Again and again. Wouldn't you like to be known as that church? Those cross-life people, I don't know how they do it. It's just a little, but it just keeps coming. Again and again, they have blessed us. Do you want to be known that way? I do, right? Lord, help us as we can do that. And pray the Lord gives us the ability to be obedient. They established themselves as a giving church. And again, I hit you up with these questions this morning. What kind of church are we? All right. Can I challenge you a little bit this morning? I've shared, most of you have heard this story. Maybe not everybody has. But when I was pastoring over in Salem, small rural community, one of the poorest counties in all of Illinois, okay, and we were struggling when I got there, had over $100,000 in debt, and When I got there, I think there was, when we got there, there was like 17 people in the church, okay? Really kind of hard times. We were usually like $400 to $500 in the red every month. So you're kind of getting the picture of where things were at, okay? We studied, and what we came across, and this was not born out of the preacher, this came from other people, which was a really evidence to me that God was the one in the picture. And he said to different people at different times in Sunday school lessons and Wednesday night lessons through messages, it just came out that we needed to start giving. Because this church had been a mission church, and so what its philosophy from the get-go was is we have to get money from people so that we can make it. And that philosophy stayed with the church even when it went self-supporting. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, we should give out, but we can't do that right now. We still have to have more money, so we got to keep taking in. Well, when we were doing that, and we kept going in the negative, and what we did as a matter of faith on a Sunday night business meeting, one of an old coal miner, he spoke up, and he said, if we'll give like the Lord's telling us to give, I think God will provide our needs. So the first month after we made the decision to give outside giving from that church, the first month we were $900 in the black. Hello? Does God honor that? He honors a generous heart as you give in obedience. I'm not telling you to go give everything away you have if the Lord didn't tell you that. If the Lord told you to give it all away, you better give it all away, right? But we need to give as the Lord leads. And so I think that's what's encouraging here today. What kind of church do we want to be? And I know that you guys want to be known as a generous church. So what will it take to get there? And you're going to hear some more of this in the message today, and we'll talk about it even in our church planning meeting coming up, but be encouraged. Look down at verse 17. This is really important. Paul says, not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. You ever receive one of those just-in-time gifts? That is a sweet-smelling savor, isn't it? Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Sometimes it can be a gift of food. Sometimes it's a gift of companionship. Sometimes it's that check in the mail that's just the amount that pays the bill. That was just that amount, right? Most of you probably been there. If you've lived very long, you've had those experiences. And remember what Paul spoke about last week. I didn't go into deep review from last week, but remember what we talked about then? He said he was content. Remember that? Whatever situation, whether I don't have enough to eat or I have plenty to eat, whether I'm cold or whether I'm completely warm and sheltered, I'm content. Because he knew that God would provide for his needs. Here's what I want you to see this morning. To Paul, and again, this is so important, and it shouldn't ever be this way for us either. It wasn't about the money. It was about teaching people to give as Christ had given to them. Anybody here today receive blessing from Christ? Come on now, right? Even if you, those of you that have quiet spirit and quiet personality, even you got to shout inside on that one a little bit, right? Your sins were forgiven. Your debt was paid. Your desperation, your desperate situation that you were in, you've been rescued and redeemed out of that. You're no longer headed to a devil's hell, but you're bound for a glorious heaven where the Lord is going to lift up his own and use them in a place of magnificence, glory, where things that were broken are going to be put back together, where sin is no more. Hello, is anybody here even slightly happy what the Lord has done for you? Right. And that's what we see here. Paul says it's not about the money, people. I want you to give as the Lord has given to you. Think about that this week, okay? Who can you give? And I don't mean just give money. Who can you give of your time? Who can you give a card? Who can you give a phone call? Who can you go see? Who can you love because you have been loved by the Lord? It wasn't just about the money. Paul knew he was blessed. It was a huge encouragement to him. He was so pleased with the gifts of the Philippians. The Lord had taken care of him through them, and he had more than enough. So this principle remains. If we will seek God first, our gifts will be pleasing to him. How will you seek God first this week? And now here again, we see how can our church do this? Well, let's look here, and then finally we'll wrap this up at this point where I want to get to today. God will meet all your needs. Now look at that briefly. How many of your needs will God meet? All. That's kind of a big promise, isn't it? I'm going to tell you today, I can't meet all your needs. Right? I do the best to try to meet all of Isaiah and Brooklyn and Wendy's needs, and I can't even do that. God says he will meet all your needs. Hang on to this, you guys. This is a verse you should memorize, you should highlight, you should underline, write it again, stick it in your brain. This is a really powerful verse that we need to hold on to today. And my God, verse 19, will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. This is such an unbelievable promise, and it's in a context, and you guys have got to see this. This is so important. What is the context of this promise? Are you with me? Are you following me here today? This is so important. This is not God's going to give you everything you ever wanted and needed. Is that what it says? No. As a matter of fact, what did we just talk about before we got to this verse? What was this church doing? They were helping get the gospel to the ends of the earth. They were generously being obedient to the Lord who had rescued and redeemed them so that his message of reconciliation, redemption could cover this earth. They were giving in obedience, and then they could claim this promise. Are you with me today? This is not a promise that says, yeah, I want something nice and new. If I just claim it, name it, the Lord will give it to me. That is not what this is. This is born out of obedience. This is a conditional context, if you will, all right? It's the same for our church. We can't be selfish and greedy and then just claim that God's going to take care of all of our needs. We have to be obedient in our generosity, and then we can claim that God will take care of our needs. Do you guys see the difference? So important in this passage, right? This is a great promise in a context of missions giving or just God-led giving. If you are giving as God commands, then God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Now let's think about this for a second. This is awesome. If you are giving as God commands, God will meet all your needs according to his riches, according to his riches, according to his riches. How rich is God today? Just chew on that for a moment. He will meet your needs according to what he has. This gets pretty good, doesn't it? So many times, don't we limit the Lord and what he can do? If you needed a drink of water, and I had to go get the water, I mean, I could carry, I could try to get a bucket, I could get whatever and give it to you, but it would only be like that much water, right? If you needed a drink of water and you asked the Lord, what does his reservoir look like? Anybody been to the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean? Right? What can't the Lord do? What does he not own? The psalmist says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And you wonder if you're going to have enough meat for a hamburger to eat. Right? What's the Lord own? Are you with me even at all? I think you are. God says he will meet all your needs according to his riches. It's a little bit different. Can I see if I can put in a little different context here. This was so interesting to me. Again, we came from rural Salem, rural Marion County in Illinois. And so there's a standard of life and a standard of living, and that's kind of where a lot of people are at, that range. And I didn't really know much. I grew up in Decatur, Illinois, which is like blue-collar, hard-working. Some of you, if you've ever seen like the idea of like Pittsburgh, like a town like that, you know, where it's just a hard-working, gritty town, you know, and people are just making by. Everybody's living paycheck to paycheck, and that's what it is. And then I came over here to the Taj Mahal schools of Hamilton County. I had no clue that there was even life like that. Do you know what I'm saying? Really? Like, really, they can make that much money doing that? I need to tell my friends back over in Illinois, come over here, right? Doing the same thing, and it's so much better. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's the way we are with the Lord sometimes. Because of what we know, we think, well, the Lord could do this. And what we don't see is our God, who says he'll supply according to his riches. All right. In the context of mission giving, of obedience giving, of a generous heart, God says, I'll meet all your needs. Everybody along with that, right? Okay, tracking along? Let's move on a little bit. John Piper writes this. I thought this was pretty good. He says, if we live by faith in this promise of future grace, it will be very hard for anxiety to survive. God's riches in glory are inexhaustible. He really means for us not to worry about our future. Does God have enough to take care of your needs for tomorrow? How about the next day? How about the next year? How about the next 10 years? How about if you could live 1,000 years? Could God meet those needs? It's not a problem for him. Why are you so worried? Why are you so afraid, right? Isn't that good? The Lord knows the number of hairs on your head. He clothes the flowers of the field, right? He takes his care, his eyes on the sparrow, right? Why are you so worried? You guys remember that passage in Matthew chapter 6? All these things, what does the Lord say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then right after that, he says, all these things shall be added unto you. Doesn't that sound like this? It's the same truth, the same principle. What a great promise. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Give to God first. Again, all your needs. There is no bill that God cannot pay. There is no need he cannot meet. His riches are inexhaustible. He will provide you with enough and often more than enough to do what he wants you to do. One of my favorite verses in the scripture is in Ephesians chapter 2. And it starts out like this. You guys, if you know Ephesians chapter 2, it starts out with this really sad setting. Because you find out the depths of depravity, the depths of sin. You find out where we're headed. And then verse 4 comes along. And Paul writes and he says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. God steps in and he makes all the difference. Let me read you this illustration and we'll be dismissed this morning. In 1880, a Christian couple, George and Sarah Clark, purchased the lease for the Pacific Beer Garden. Promptly dropping the word beer, the couple added the word mission and launched a ministry to homeless alcoholics and downtrodden men and women. Thus was born the Pacific Garden Mission of Chicago, the old lighthouse, the second oldest rescue mission in the United States. Colonel and Mrs. Clark bore the cost of the mission themselves, but as expenses grew and the ministry expanded, their funds ran low. Eventually, the day came when they could not pay the rent. Attempts to secure the needed funds failed, and Colonel Clark was told he only had 24 hours to make payment. Otherwise, he would lose his lease, and the Pacific Garden Mission would close. Throughout the night, Colonel and Mrs. Clark prayed, asking God to guide and to provide in his own way and time. They reminded the Lord of the souls being saved each night, of the men and women whose lives were being salvaged, and they asked him why they should find themselves in such straits while trying to do his work. But determining to trust and not to question, they remained before the throne of grace in simple faith and earnest pleading until the breaking of dawn. When they emerged from their Morgan Park house that morning, they gasped. What had happened to their front yard? It was covered with something white, something that instantly reminded them of the manna of the Old Testament. Looking closer, they discovered their lawn was filled with mushrooms of the very best quality, which was quite mysterious because it wasn't the season for mushrooms. And gathering the crop, the Clarks carted the mushrooms down the street and sold them to the chefs at the Palmer House, the famed hotel just off Michigan Avenue, for a large price. The receipts were enough to pay the rent with enough left over to meet other ministry expenses. And so the Pacific Garden Mission carried on its work undeterred. Isn't that awesome? Here's what I want to tell you. God still does things like that, people. But it's up to people to earnestly pray and obey, to do what the Lord has to do, and then to wait for his movement, his action. How about you? Will you do that today? Let's go back where we started this morning. What's that need? What do you really need today? Not just what do you want, but what do you really need? The Lord has the ability to meet that need. What we need to do is seek first the kingdom. Remember that God will supply all those needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Let's stand this morning and we'll have prayer together. Heavenly Father, today we're just so grateful to gather around your word. So thankful for the people who have come today. Lord, I pray that you encourage those that have come here today. I know that some of them have very great needs and they have great hurts. They have desires for their children and for their grandchildren. Lord, they have burdens and anxieties and cares that are weighing them down. And Lord, I pray today that you would encourage them and lift them up. Lord, would you help us to hear your voice? Would you help us to be more disciplined in our own time with you so that we can really keep in step with your Spirit? And Lord, that we can know exactly what you would have of us and that we can obey. And then, Lord, we can trust that as we obey, that you will provide all the things that we have need of. Lord, we ask you today for our church as a whole. Lord, would you continue to make us a generous church? And Lord, help us not just to give dollars and cents, but Lord, would you help us to give of our time and of ourselves, to love the people that are serving you all around the globe. And Lord, let those people know that they matter and that we care. And then, Lord, we can trust that you will use and meet our needs as you see fit. God, today we thank you so much for your word and just pray that you would be exonerated and or just be exalted, Lord, in all that we do. Lord Jesus, we love you, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, let's see if I can take this crazy thing off here. Does anyone have any thing they'd like to say before we're dismissed?